It is February 17th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The SEC and the CFTC fined the OCC a combined $22 million for rules violations. The SEC said the OCC, quote, failed to comply with its SEC-approved stress testing and clearing fund methodology rule during certain times between October 2019 and May 2021, unquote. The CFTC said the OCC, quote, failed to establish, implement, maintain, and enforce certain policies and procedures reasonably designed to manage the operational risk related to its automated systems in violation of the Commodity Exchange Act, CEA, and related CFTC regulations, unquote. I am quite certain this is not the way the OCC sought to kick off its 50th anniversary. The word is the OCC is holding an all-OCC meeting this morning with staff to discuss the fines, the actions the organization has taken, and to calm frayed employee nerves. Good move. The OCC has seen significant turnover at the highest levels of the C-suite in the last year. Some of that turnover has been attributed to delays and cost overrun problems with the Renaissance Initiative, a multi-year effort to comprehensively redevelop and modernize OCC's technology infrastructure, including clearing, risk management, and data management systems. But this fine also gives a different light to the OCC turnover, which has seen former Acuna Capital LLC CEO Andrea Bolkovic join OCC on October 3rd, 2022 as CEO-elect. He will take over from John Davidson sometime during the first half of 2023. Scott Warren is now a senior advisor at OCC, having stepped down as chief operating officer after announcing his retirement from OCC effective in April 2023. Longtime OCC employee Dan Busby is now the OCC COO. Mike Novak, formerly of ABN AMRO Clearing Chicago, is now the chief financial officer of OCC, replacing Amy Shelley. I have great trust in the OCC to right the ship and see its way through the challenges it faces. It has too many good and talented people in the organization to fail, from Executive Chairman Craig Donohue to an experienced board to a roster of excellent employees. Monday, February 20th, is President's Day. This means the U.S. markets will be closed. There is a link in today's newsletter for the CME Group's holiday schedule for President's Day. The NYSE does not celebrate President's Day, but rather Washington's birthday. I guess when you have a statue of George Washington across from your doors, that makes sense. There's a link for the NYSE holiday schedule for 2023 in the newsletter as well. NASDAQ celebrates President's Day, and there's a link for their 2023 holiday schedule in the newsletter as well. Kristen Hyde has a piece in FIA Market Voice titled Black Americans Who Broke Through Barriers in Finance, with the subheadline of Spotlight on Some of the Unsung Heroes Whose Vision and Tenacity Open Doors for Future Generations. The NFA has noticed an uptick in scams featuring people pretending to be NFA staff or agents and has posted a notice to their website about it. The FIA's Bill Herder was on a panel yesterday for the Digital Compliance and Market Integrity Summit in Singapore, put on by Solace Labs. You can watch the panel discussion with a link in today's newsletter. Cboe Global Markets is looking for a senior manager learning and development in Chicago. How much Tesla stock has Elon Musk sold? Enough that now index funds own more than he does, according to a Financial Times story with the headline, index funds now own more Tesla than Musk. In the continuing fallout from the Ion Clear derivatives Russian hack, the CFTC announced the postponement of the commitment of traders report. Greg Hummel of Crane Chicago Business is endorsing Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot for re-election, saying, "Give Lightfoot four more years and don't change horses midstream." Brett Ladenhorf is starting a new position as operational risk manager at Merricks. Scott Ray has been appointed sales director of Sterling Trading Tech. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From the Options Clearing Corporation. Statement: OCC reaches settlement with SEC and CFTC regarding error in implementation of liquidation cost model. OCC has reached settlements with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, regarding OCC's error concerning the implementation of its rule on liquidation cost model enhancement and its liquidation cost charge, LC charge. My comment. And that's all I have to say about it. See the GIF of Forrest Gump. And here's a story from The Atlantic. America's teenage girls are not okay. Rising teen anxiety is a national crisis. American teenagers, especially girls and kids who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or questioning, are engulfed in historic rates of anxiety and sadness. And everybody seems to think they know why. Some psychologists point to social media, whereas others blame school shootings. Others chalk it up to changes in parenting. Climate change activists say it's climate change. Atlantic writers like me blather on about the decline of physical world interactions. These explanations aren't equally valid, and some of them might be purely wrong, but the sheer number of theories reflects the complexity of mental health challenges and suggests that perhaps nobody knows for sure what's going on. My comment: this is a big problem that should be taken very seriously. We need to drop the politics and the division and address the issue. Here's a story from Wired. The bird flu outbreak has taken an ominous turn. The avian flu has killed millions of chickens, decimated wild birds, and moved into mammals. Now the poultry industry needs new measures to stop its spread. This week, Argentina and Uruguay declared national health emergencies following outbreaks of highly pathogenic avian influenza, H5N1, the fast-moving virus that destroys poultry flocks and wild birds, and for decades has been feared as a possible spark of a pandemic among people. That makes 10 South American countries that have recently marked their first ever encounter with the virus, including Peru, where more than 50,000 wild birds died last fall, and more than 600 sea lions in January. Combine the sea lion infections with the revelation that H5N1 flu invaded a mink farm in Spain in October, and health authorities must now confront the possibility that the unpredictable virus may have adapted to threaten other species. My comment: your eggs are not going to get cheaper, and raising your own chickens might not be the best solution. Here's another story, this one from USA Today. Last true mansion on New York's iconic Fifth Avenue listed at $80 million. A man who once unseated Bill Gates as the world's richest person listed one of New York's most historic private homes for $80 million. Located on one of the most iconic streets in the world, the Duke House was built during the Gilded Age and remains one of the Fifth Avenue's last true mansions, according to New York City Landmarks Preservation Commission. My comment: the historic building is across from the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our most clicked item Thursday was the SEC press release, SEC finalizes rules to reduce risks in clearance and settlement. Second was the Vermiculus press release. B3 chooses Vermiculus to deliver best-in-class CSD system. Third was a tie between the Wall Street Journal's Michael Jordan is donating $10 million to Make-A-Wish and the announcement on LinkedIn of the Tradier Option Summit in partnership with Cboe on February 22nd. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is the press release from the SEC previously mentioned. SEC charges Options Clearing Corporation with rule failures. The Securities and Exchange Commission today announced that the Options Clearing Corporation, OCC, will undertake remedial efforts to pay $17 million in penalties to settle charges that it failed to comply with its SEC-approved stress testing and clearing fund methodology rule during certain times during October 19th and May 2021. And then here's a press release from the CFTC. CFTC orders the Options Clearing Corporation to pay a $5 million penalty for violations of core principles and regulations related to operational risk management. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission today issued an order simultaneously filing and settling charges against the Options Clearing Corporation, OCC, a Chicago-based CFTC-registered derivatives clearing organization, DCO. The order finds the respondent failed to establish, implement, maintain, and enforce certain policies and procedures reasonably designed to manage the operational risk related to its automated systems in violation of the Commodities Exchange Act, CEA, and related CFTC regulations. And then finally, here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, the SEC comes for crypto custody, also million vote preferred stock, designated counsel, and CEO handwriting. Roughly speaking, the way the U.S. stock market works is that all the stocks are in one place. The place is called DTC, the Depository Trust Company, which in some sense owns almost all of the stocks. If you own a stock, what you own is an entry on a list at your brokerage saying that you are entitled to some of the stocks that it is holding onto for clients, and what your brokerage has is an entry on a list at DTC saying that it is entitled to some of the stocks that DTC is holding onto. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.